Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 429. We're up to the final film of the Angel Has Fallen franchise, or Olympus Has Fallen, or the Fallen franchise,
I guess.
Has Fallen franchise. Oh, I like that. That's a good one. We're up to the last one, which is called Angel Has Fallen from 2019. I'm your host, Ash Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, saw this in the theater?
I saw a little bit in the theater. Yeah, I was waiting for another movie to start and I went into this theater. And so I've seen the first like 15 to 20 minutes of this before. So when this movie started, I was like, yep, I've seen this part. And then it got to a point where it's like, all right, this is all new. I haven't seen any of this stuff. So I had only seen a little bit. I didn't even see London Has Fallen in the theater.
Right.
So I never even saw it. I don't know. Olympus, I saw it and liked it, and I just didn't really feel like seeing the rest of these in the theater. So, nope, I didn't see the whole thing there.
This one I saw in the theater. I didn't see London, but I saw Angel. My experience was the same as London. I don't know why I never went back to watching all of them. But this one, I came out going, okay, it was like a typical sequel. Like, I have a lot of problems with this movie. I'll tell you that.
This movie
has more problems than London Has Fallen. I'll say that. But box office-wise, unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you what. If they decide to do a Has Fallen number 4, I will understand why.
Apparently they are.
Oh, you know what?
I was doing my research for this. It said that they're working on not only possibly another movie, but also maybe a TV series.
With Gerard Butler?
He'd probably be in the movie. I don't know if he'd be in the series.
Oh, okay.
Doing like young Mike Bennett, like pre.
How he became a Secret Service.
Yeah,
All right. Well, with that said, the movie was budgeted at $40 million.
Not bad.
And it made a worldwide total of $146 million at the box office. So now that's a successful movie. Now it's not super high, but you know what? For a Millennium Productions or whatever it was called, when you see that stupid logo, you know this is like a straight to DVD low budget action movie, because like I even think all the Rambo, not Rambos, but all the Stallone movies have that logo.
A few of them. I know Tony Movie Chappie, one of our friends and listeners, he loves Millennium. It's like one of his favorite.
Yeah,
favorite studios for some reason. I want to say Escape Plan. I think it's like Lionsgate and Millennium.
Expendables, I believe, was under that.
Expendables might be. Yep. These movies, but only this one, because the first one was Sony.
Yes.
So yeah. And then London, I don't even remember who made London. Maybe this too.
No, I think it was Millennium. Also, it popped up.
Okay. Yeah. This one is Lionsgate and Millennium.
Yeah. So you know what? This is it's a successful movie, and. Yeah. Right or wrong, I don't know, because I can't wait to talk about this. But I wasn't too shocked by it when I seen these numbers, because I was like, I didn't remember when I went to see it, the theater was packed. So it wasn't like it wasn't. This one was packed.
Well, the budget being $40 million helps too. Like, you don't have to spend $150 million on every action movie. Like,
no.
And without even reviewing anything, like, the movie looks fine. It doesn't look super low budget. It doesn't look cheap. And this is the only one that's in 4K also. So like, I saw it in 4K. I was like, it looks good for a $40 million budget. So maybe if some other studios took note, make a nice mid budget movie, you could make money. You don't have to make $400 billion. You can make $140 and make money.
And you're absolutely right, because this three movies that we did was like less than $60 million, and all of them were it's not what we feel like with the story, but at the end of the day, one and two were highly successful and they were good looking. Yeah. It was a real action movie at the end of the day. So with that said, critics and audience, what did they have to say about this?
This is one of the weirdest Rotten Tomato scores I've ever looked up in my life. This has, as far as the critic score, this has a 10% increase from London Has Fallen with a 38%. London had a 28. This one has a 38. However, this audience, something's fishy with this audience score. So the audience score is a plus 42%, and this has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes with the audience. Now, I don't know if it was like a review dump where like a bunch of like Lionsgate paid a bunch of people to go on here and give it a positive review. All of these, because like 42, that means London Has Fallen, which is the most profitable, by the way, made the most money, had a 51% audience score. Okay, 51. This has a 93%. I don't see that. I even read like a couple of the, when I go on Rotten Tomatoes, like when I see that, I'll kind of like look at like, and some of the reviews were like, this one is the greatest movie of all time. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. It seems weird. If they said 65%, even 70, I'd be like, well, okay. But 93, I don't know what's going on. Seems a little fishy to me.
I'm really shocked that you said that because this movie's not a 90s movie, like a 90 bracket movie.
It has 10,000 user reviews.
I would say Olympus out of the three might be in the 90s bracket because that one had an overall good storyline, action, first of its kind.
This is the highest by a mile. Yeah.
The sequel should have been around the 70s or 80s-ish, but this one at 90, bro, oh my God. Anyway, let's just get into it. Lead character, Mike Banning is back. Morgan Freeman is back. His wife got changed to another actress. It's not the same wife for the first two movies.
Correct.
It's played by someone else. Yeah. Nick Nolte is in this movie, played his father, Mike Banning the dad senior, I guess. I don't know his name.
Old Banning.
Old Manning senior. Other than that, what you got?
Okay. Yes. Just some quick notes. No more Aaron Eckhart. And I'll be honest, he was missed. I like him as the president. And even just in that. And Morgan Freeman's in this, but he's not in it like, I mean, he's in it, but he's not in it like Aaron Eckhart was in it. Like Aaron Eckhart was like a crucial character in those first two movies. Whereas here is just like Morgan Freeman's an old man president and whatever. He's fine. He's Morgan Freeman. The wife, Rhoda Mitchell, played her in the first two movies. This one we get Piper Perabo. And I like Piper Perabo. She's cool. She was on that show Covert Affairs back in the day. Mm. She's a good actress, but you know, and she's fine. I don't really have a problem, you know, with that too much. Gerard Butler. I don't know what happened here. As far as this movie is what, 4 years after London Has Fallen was like 2015, I think. And this was 2019. So 16. I think it was 16?
Yeah.
So this is only 3 years later. He looks like he's like 8 years older than in London Has Fallen.
I think he was into his drinking.
He got to be drunk Uncle
Jerry. Yeah, he getting a lot of alcohol.
He
got to
be drunk Uncle Jerry. The guy looks, he looks 10 years older than he does in the last movie. So he's still a good actor. This doesn't take away from, I'm just talking physical appearance. It's kind of jarring to see him in the first two movies. And then this one's only a couple years later and he looks extremely older. He even looked better in Den of Thieves, I feel like, than in this movie. He looked like kind of haggard. But besides the look, I thought he was good. He still feels like the character, a very different role because this time he's the one that's, this whole movie is very different than the first two movies. I'm not gonna lie. Like the story is totally different. Everything. He's trying to clear his own name because he's framed for like assassination attempt on the president. And so he's like trying to clear his name. So it's not the classic thing of like him trying to protect the president or get to the president, or now he's trying to like help himself pretty much. And then Nick Nolte pops up as dad. I actually like Nick Nolte in this movie. I thought he was fun. I like him in general. He talks like this. His voice sounds crazy, but I've always kind of enjoyed him. So I give him a 4. I actually do think he's good in this. There's some other stuff where he's tied to the villains where I'll share in the villain section. But I give him a 4.
So I was torn with this movie when it came to Mike Banning's character, because I totally agree with you. Physically, he looks off. Like he was just like, well, I'm the main star of the first two. You can't tell me to do a diet and lose. You know what I mean? No. But I will say this. Turning to the character, I was a little disappointed. He was a little slower, which he's older.
Concussions.
Yeah, he had concussions. Yeah, taking painkillers. Now he started to become the typical action star, right? With the painkillers and the concussions. And so I was just like, all right, I don't know. I wasn't too crazy with him in this one because the first two movies, he was in the situations that his abilities kicked up to 1,000, right? In the first movie, he's in the White House. He knows the layout. He knows how to do some stuff. In London, he knows the layout because he's like, okay, now this is a situation that they trained for. Okay. This one, I'm like, he's not trained to be, you know, he's on the run or whatever, but I felt everything was so, with the character was so fast. I don't know if you understand what I mean. It was just like, ping, 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 ping. Like, it wasn't like him trying to figure out what it was, which he was trying to, but it was like super quick. He figured out who did what. Like, certain moments when he's fighting like 30 dudes that are trained mercenaries, didn't feel like trained mercenaries, whereas the Olympus Has Fallen, those dudes were more, again, they were better than these guys, which was trained by his friend, like his best friend that they went to the war together. Which, so like,
they kind of foreshadow in that beginning scene in that training where he like goes through all of them. Like,
oh, dude,
that he's just better than all of them pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, yep. I guess.
Yeah. I didn't get it. But at the end of the day, I did enjoy it. I gave it a 4 at the end because I did still like him because he still had his moral compass still.
What about Nick Nolte?
Huh?
Nick Nolte.
Oh, Nick Nolte. I like Nick Nolte because he was like the hobo in the woods, right? Like the conspiracy theory guy.
He was off the grid.
Yeah. He was like, what did I tell you?
I live in the trees. They can't find me here.
Yeah, so like he was blaming him and is like, no, he knew what he was getting himself into. He walked away from his family because he got crazy. So it was like, so I was okay with the story. Well, I was like, whatever, but I did like Nick Nolte. It reminded me of Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise, the first one when they had Duvall.
Oh, Robert
Duvall. Remember, he was like the shooting range trainer or whatever, and then he helps him at the end of the movie. So it felt kind of like that with the dad. But this one, he
goes to stay with them at the end. And
yeah, I thought that was cool. I thought that was a, you know, to end the story, which I hope they don't add him if they decide.
He's the director now. He's the director. So maybe he's going to be the director and there'll be some new guy who he in the
oh, that's right. The CIA director.
Yeah.
I told Angelina, imagine the new movie would be called Pentagon Has Fallen.
or whatever the nickname, if they have a nickname for the Pentagon, that thing. Like, because Olympus Has Fallen is just them taking over the White House. Right. So maybe it's like,
well, the Pentagon, because everyone knows the Pentagon, so it's easy to market.
Does it have a nickname? Like the Fortress.
The fort.
Some crap like that.
The shape has fallen.
The 5 points has fallen.
The 5 points. Oh, there you go. You can say that too. Yeah. But yeah, Pentagon has fallen. You never know. The director has to come through and save everyone. Yeah. But nah, at the end of the day, I gave him 4. I thought he was okay. Not all over the top. Okay, main villain here now is his friend.
Danny, the guy who, if you see him in a movie, he's the bad guy every time. They're like, okay, here's my problem with this. So I don't have an issue. I like Danny Houston as an actor. Let's get that out the way. I think he's a good actor. Okay. Even in stupid X-Men Origins Wolverine, like as William Stryker, fine. I'm just trying to think of stuff we reviewed, but
yeah,
his performance is good. Like he's no Brian Cox, but he's a good actor, right? Yeah. 30 Days a Night, he plays the evil vampire leader. Fine, cool. I like him. The problem is, as soon as he shows his face on screen, you know he's a bad guy every single time, and this movie's no different. Again, I only saw the first like 15 minutes of this movie. So watching it, as soon as they're at the house and they're having their little drinks, and he's like,
the steak?
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I don't think I'm going to take the job. And he's like, well, so your future, I was like, oh, that's it. He's going to do something to double cross him. And because now he's mad because he's not going to get his little contract and whatever. And sure enough, that's who the bad guy is. And so it's a lot predictable. Not a little. It's a lot predictable. That kind of hurts it. It's not inherently bad. Like, I don't think it's an inherently bad choice to make the friend the villain. I just think the story was a little too obvious that he was going to be involved. You also have the vice president that gets promoted to president. Mm-hmm. He's also the one who's like been working with him to try to. So like that element adds a little bit of flavor to it, I guess. And there's a lot of goons, a lot of henchmen. I'm going to give it a 3. And I could have went with a 2, but I do think like the acting was good. I kind of get the motivations. I just wish it wasn't so obvious. Like, I wish they played it better where it was like maybe a little more of a mystery. Like, who's doing this? Nope, you know right away who's doing
right.
And that hurt it a bit. So I'm going to give it a 3.
I gave it a 2. So it's all right. I gave it 4 you. You said everything. I hate obvious villains because it doesn't make the movie thrilling. It doesn't make it like suspense when you're like, oh my God, he's eating steak with the guy we all know is going to turn on him. That got all the DNA because he was in his house. So he went to got the brush in his hair to get a sample of his hair. He must have did some toothbrush to get his DNA to put on whatever. So like for me, I'm just like, oh, come on. At that vice president, you already knew also he was the bad guy. The minute he talked, I said, oh, Jesus Christ. And I haven't seen this movie in ages.
Yeah.
Like within, since well, the theater.
Since 6 years ago, probably.
Yeah. So I was just like, you know, it hurts the movie. Whereas London Has Fallen, we really did not know who the bad guy was. Because the minute the movie started, everyone turned around and shooting everybody. And I was like, holy hell, chaos erupt. And I was like, that's cool. Same thing with Olympus. You didn't know what was going on. This
except
one,
when
you
that
kinda
guy walks in the room. Remember? The
friend. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, his friend. <He's bad>. Yeah. Yeah, you knew he was bad.
But it works in that movie.
Yes.
Because, and I don't mean to cut you off, but
no.
The problem is this is set up like a political thriller. And those are not. Those are like pure action movies. Whereas here, they want it to be a mystery. And it's not. You can have an obvious villain, right? You watch a Batman movie. You know, the Joker's a bad guy. Doesn't have to be a mystery. But if you're going to present your film as a thriller, then yeah, there has to be mystery. Like you can't just be like, oh, I know who it is. And then when they reveal it, you're supposed to be like, oh, it's his friend. But you're not. You're like, I knew that.
It wasn't heartfelt to me. And then the villains were just so not as good. Like, I don't know how to say it because like they had drones in the beginning of the movie, which I was like, okay, that's cool. They use technology. And I was like, wow, that's cool. But then at the beginning of the movie, you're right. My man Mike Banning just pile drive through 30 dudes by himself. Right? Like, he literally walked through an entire building, took out like 30 of these mercenary guys, and they're supposed to be like the best of the best of the best, supposedly, because you're paying them to do service for you, like to do security. This guy just blazes through them. But then in the movie, they're like so watered down. Like, he literally just destroyed everybody. Like, even his friend, which you thought was going to go toe-to-toe. Like, remember when Riggs fought Gary Busey? Because they went in the military and they both hated each other.
Yep.
And they fought in the street in the rain, right? Yep. It was toe to toe because they went at each other. And then, you know, Murtaugh was like, come on, Riggs, you can win. And he's choking him and he wins, but then he gets shot up. But at the end of the day, it was a kind of close, even fight. That's what I thought we were going to get at the end of this. We did not get that. We got a straight up one-sided, Mike Banning is going to whoop that ass, and he literally whooped that ass.
And guys are supposed to be in the military together, and Mike Banning, and he looks older than normal, and he still looks way younger than this other guy.
Yeah, and so beats him faster.
Yeah,
exactly. So, I don't know. I agree with you. And that's my only nitpick with this franchise. Mike Banning is super, like, God tier.
He's a video game character.
Yes, very video. Like you got the unlimited health packs.
And yeah, you're unlimited just ammo, unlimited health. You can take some damage, but you won't die. That's Mike Banning.
That is him. Because he got shot with a 50 caliber from a helicopter, and he still ran across the roof and still beat this guy 1-1.
He's good.
So nobody I was just like, okay, cool. But anyway, I gave it a 2. I wasn't too crazy. And in terms of the vice president, he was there for not much, and you already saw the agenda because he already said the Russians did it, and it was like chaos erupted. And I was like, oh, my God. But yeah, that's a 2. Action scenes.
Okay, so this is directed by a guy named Rick Roman Waugh. Waugh, I think is how you pronounce it. Now, we've done one of his movies.
We did?
A couple, not that long ago, a movie called Snitch with The Rock. He directed that. I will say, his brother also is the director. His brother is a guy named Scott Waugh. He directed Need for Speed, which we have reviewed here. And he did Act of Valor. Both of them are former stuntmen turned directors. And you can tell because the way... the way he shoots action, it's way less reliant on CGI and it's more reliant on practical. Obviously the drones are CGI, but that's okay. They look fine. But other than that, you know, like they're driving cars, they're flipping cars, there's hand to hand, there's even some of the way he shoots stuff, like it's almost like there's one point where they like put the camera on the gun and you're going through like at the beginning, and so it feels more like tangible, and I do like that. That being said, the S-tier level of action we got from London is like not in this movie. I think this movie has solid action. So for me, a solid action is a 3. I think it's good. I think it's well done. I think it hurts that the movie before it was like insanely awesome as far as the action. Because if they all were like this, I might feel differently. I might give it a 4 because I do think it's well done. But there's less. This one has more of the, you know, like I said, it's like a political thriller. So you got all the story. And there's a lot. There's like more story in this movie than in the first two, for better or worse. So I gave it a 3. I think it's good. I don't have like a huge problem with anything. But I wish there was more maybe.
Yeah, I gave this a 4. And this is why. Because I thought the action sequences were... they were great. Mm. Not London Has Fallen, I think, is the best one out of the 3. And then Olympus right behind it. This one, the drones was good, but they shot the wad.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were going to do, I was gonna like, I thought it was gonna be way more drones usage. They shot that shit all in one. I was like, oh man. Cause I thought it was a cool concept. You know, you have all these drones, man. Talk about a storyline, but you have all these drones come out, they're bombing everything. And I was like, holy hell, you see everything getting exploded. You see everything going chaotic. I was like, that's pretty cool. Then from there, I mean, Mike Banning, the car gets hit. They take it, they try to take him out. He kills them all. And I was like, then he finds out that it was his best friend, whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. I love the scene with the father. I mean, that shit is good. Yeah. He put mad explosives in that one. Yeah, that's true. I thought it was over the top. Like, it was weird because my wife was like, man, how much explosives did I put? I was like, I don't know, but this is like way too over the top. Like, for me, I was just, and I love explosions, but I was like, come on. Dude, it was yanking thing and... I mean, wow, it was explosions, but it was pretty cool though. He was like, you ain't gonna tell me go this way. He was like, well, I told you not to run that way. And he's yanking. I thought that was pretty funny. Towards the ending with the hospital sequence, that's where I had to deduct the point because I was just like, I know all this shit is fake. It's not possible at all. But then there's a point of reality for me that I'm like, I got to deduct something because this makes no sense. Like, especially my wife works in a hospital and she goes, there's no fucking way you're going to blow up a hospital. There's going to be people still in there. You're not evacuating the entire, all these wings in 2 seconds.
Right.
Like, yeah. And I felt like there was no casualties. A computer that could pretty much ignite nitrogen in the basement.
Magic.
Like, yeah, and it hit the return key that could ignite the switches. And I was just like, yeah, that took me out. I was like, that's too far-fetched. Because then, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, now you could just do mad.
You could do anything from anywhere at any time with anything. Even if you don't have any, you didn't plant anything there. It just goes, it's going to blow it up.
Yes, and I felt like it's, There's a thing of possibility and not, and reality over fictional. And I feel like I love them stuff like that. I mean, I do 007. I love all that gadget shit. There's whatever. But then there's parts like this that you're just like, okay, I mean, but there's no way you're going to do that to a hospital. Like, you literally have to go in there and change those networks to go to your computer. He didn't do that. He literally just put 3 codes and he was just like, we can't turn off the night. Come on, there's no off switch. You can't turn off the panel. Like, you can't do none of that stuff. And I was just like, come on. And you see all the stuff, you know, the gas going just to blow up the president. I still have problems with that. The president is sleep. It's in the hospital. No army presence downstairs at all. Yeah. After his attempt of assassination.
After he got in a coma. And came out of a coma.
After he came out of a coma, there's no presence of the army down there.
He'll be fine.
At all. Yeah. No Marine One. Marine One takes 30 minutes now to get to the president. Whereas the other movie, the ship was there in 2 minutes. Yeah. I was like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I had to deduct the point because for me, I was just like, that is way, way over the top with the hospital.
Yeah.
And then the ending scene of them with the, he shot him with the helicopter. And then all of a sudden they had that fight. And I was just like, nah.
What's crazy about these movies? Like, dude, these movies are all made within 6 years of each other. And the president's trying to get killed every couple of years. What? Imagine if this was real America where like every 3 years there's like a crazy assassination attempt where it's not just like a guy trying to shoot him. It's like they try to blow up the president every 3 years. It's crazy. Dude, the Secret Service doesn't do their job good. The CIA, everybody's doing a horrible job in this franchise of like protecting the president.
I agree with you. I was just like, bro,
it comes down to one guy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like this just, I'm like, whatever. I mean, I gave it a 4.
I gave it a lower score, but I agree with you.
Yeah, you gave it a lower score, but yeah, I gave it a 4. Because, anyway.
That's fine.
Storyline.
Yeah, well, like I just said, these movies, you know, the more that we're getting to the end of this, the more I think, wow, these are stupid movies, if you think about it like that. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it from the perspective of, these are some of the most implausible, silly things where every country, every other, even its own country, in this one, it's freaking Americans trying to kill the president. Like, everyone's trying to kill the president all the time in all these movies. I think they should have went the route of like, okay, you got this character. You got Olympus Has Fallen. Cool movie, cool premise, different, right? One time. The next one, you got Mike Banning. Just use him in a different way, right? Why does it always have to be that the president's trying to get killed? I know he's Secret Service, but still, like, but I don't know, do something else. And then this movie, they're still trying to kill the president. But at least they said, well, this time it's going to make it, we're going to frame him. So that was different. I'll give him a point for that, honestly. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like he should have went on some missions. Like, I just think they could have used the character differently. And maybe he shouldn't have been Secret Service. Maybe he should have just been like, I don't know, CIA or what army? Leave him in the army. Make him like a top soldier. And hey, we need you to go do this thing. I think it could have been better. Either way, okay, storyline. I gave it a 3. I do think this storyline is better than the last movie. London Has Fallen is terrible. The story is not good. This one at least has that political thriller edge to it. Predictable, which is why it's not going to get a very high score. But I will say this movie feels a little different than the first two movies in that, you know, like that it has the, you had Jada Pinkett Smith's character trying to like chase after him and, you know, and his wife is more involved this time. Like, you know, when she goes to her and she tries to get her to do all, and she's like, get out. I hate you. Get out. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to you. So I do think it's a fine story. I feel very lukewarm on this movie, if you couldn't already tell. Like, I don't think anything is egregiously horrible, but I also don't think anything is particularly great. So I gave it a 3. I think it's fine. I really do. I think it's fine. There's no way it's worse than London Has Fallen. The storyline is not worse.
I enjoy London Has Fallen better.
The story?
Yes. Oh. I liked it because you know what? At least with London Has Fallen, there was a purpose for the bad guy, right? The president bombed
his
family. Yeah, it was a revenge story.
Yeah.
This one was really, it's horrible. It's a really horrible story. You're going to tell me the guy who protected the president for 2 terms is now out, is going to kill the president, and now he is framed for murder where I could have fucking solved the damn thing in 2 seconds. You cannot tell me that this guy was in the water and operating drones at the same time. And you can tell me, oh yeah, but miraculously he survived. Okay, you could look into why he survived, but you cannot tell me that he's the one that plotted to kill all his friends at that particular time. And he got turned into the director of the CIA. And he has $10 million at an offshore account. Come on, that shit smells like, I was just like, this is so horrible. Like, this is not even, and this is the problem I have with these storylines. 24 did this shit on their TV show, where they frame Jack Bauer. And I'm like, this is not possible. The guy, you could tell, gave his fucking life for America. And now all of a sudden, he's going to kill the president. Could have did it when he was wearing him in year one of the season 2 or 3 or 4. Like, I hate plots like that because it doesn't feel believable. Then everyone's against him now. Oh, yeah, it does make sense. And I'm like, come on, you guys worked with this guy for a long time. And you're not going to tell me that y'all all going to turn and go, yeah, and then Morgan Freeman wakes out of the coma. And what's the first thing he says? Get him out of the handcuffs. He was with me and saved me. And everyone's not even questioning that. First of all, he would never be in front of the president, even if he wakes up. But still, I was just like, I did not like the plot line at all. I thought it was stupid. I did not like Pickett Smith's FBI agent. I thought it was really dumb when she went all the way with the helicopter to meet the bad guy and she gets killed 2 seconds. I was just like, come on. Another dodo bird. I was like, another waste of character. Did not like that. Nick Nolte's character did save the movie for me. I liked that whole father-son dynamic. I thought it was really good. The wife's storyline, I thought it was really good too. I thought it worked for me. But in terms of the overall picture, I was not sold on it because I was just like, this is just like another 24 type of storyline that it just doesn't make sense for a character to do. Oh, he's, you know, the angel, you know, the one who saves the president now is the bad guy. Like, yeah, that did not work for me at all. So for me, I gave it a 1.
Whoa. Okay.
Because I there's a reason why I never went back to this one. And then that's the reason I was not too crazy with the storyline. I thought it was just so blah. And in terms of what you were saying, like what to do with the character in a movie to make it fresh and new, what they could have done was Morgan Freeman and him could have visited Russia. And something would have happened and the president gets stuck in the bunker with the Russian prime president, or you could do the Chinese president and it's him and let's say Daniel Yang's version of Mike Banning, and them two have to now join forces and while their president's in the bunker to figure out the conspiracy, like
China,
why they're trying to
China has fallen.
China has fallen. Yeah, you could
just go to
like
every
that
country and every city.
Right, Egypt, but Mike Banning is there, so you know, yeah, he's like, take my best agent with you. You know what I mean? Like something corny, and then they lock the bunker, and now the presidents are safe, and now there's them two versus an army of like Chinese bad guys. I would pay to see that. Daniel Yang and Mike Banning join forces. But anyway, something like that would have been fun. You know, it doesn't always have to have the president.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree. Yeah.
You could do something like that. How many times are you going to try to assassinate this guy?
Instead of that president, they could assassinate the Chinese president, but it just so happens to be that the American president is in the same bunker. It's a twofer.
They're going to frame him, and then it's going to be, we got to clear his name and hide him in the bunker, and I got to fight all the Chinese warriors.
There you go. That's funny. But no, I wasn't too crazy. So I gave it a one. All right, your overall.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. But overall, here's the problem. This movie is very forgettable. I will not remember this movie now that I've seen it. And I will never watch it again. I don't really see. I don't even think this is not a franchise. First of all, this was a first time watch and pretty much two first time watches. And the first time I've seen Olympus Has Fallen since 2013. It's not a franchise I rewatch anyway. So I will never watch this movie again. Did I hate it? No. Do I think it's a bad movie? No. But do I see myself being like, man, I really want to watch Angel Has Fallen? Absolutely not. I can't imagine a scenario where that like thought pops into my mind. So just because of that, I gave it a two, even though most of the other, I didn't give it a two in any individual category, but I feel like it's a forgettable movie. I feel like it's not very memorable. I feel like it's when you're watching it, it's fine. But as soon as it's over, you're like, you're okay that, you know, like you, if you don't see it again. So I couldn't even give it the full three. I was like, it's a two. This is a two for me.
Interesting. How the tables turn. Interesting.
But total picture. It's a two. It's a two.
Very interesting, Mr. Defending the Storyline. All right.
I think the storyline's not as bad as you, but I think the movie's probably as bad as you because you might have given it the same score. I don't know.
Because you less memorable. Interesting. But you like the storyline.
But I didn't like the storyline of London, but it's more memorable because the action's incredible. Nothing's incredible in this movie. That's the problem. No.
Anyway, yeah. I agree with you. And I gave it a two myself. I think it's a decent film, but I'm never watching this again. And this is how bad this movie is in my eyes. I was at Walmart and they had the Steelbook 4K of this movie. And I went, wow, if they ever decide to do London and Olympus 4K Steelbooks, I will already have Angel. And I said, fuck no. I am not paying $30 on Angel Has Fallen Steelbook so I could have a Steelbook fetish. Just in case they decide to do that. I said, I can stick to my normal version while the other two could have Steelbooks. I'm okay with it. No, but all jokes aside, I will never watch this. You're absolutely right. 100% right. This is the most unmemorable action movie I think we've seen in a long time. It's semi-fun, semi-thriller, I guess you want to say. But at the end, it's like a steak. How do you say it? It's a steak that you enjoy eating, but it's just not memorable because it wasn't seasoned well. At the end of the day, you're
it's
just
an
like
unseasoned steak.
It's an unseasoned steak that you just go, steak. Wow.
It is. But it got no extra seasoning.
Yes, it gave you the sustenance. But now you're just like, I'm okay with it. I can have a better steak tomorrow. And that's what this one felt like. It just felt like a steak that someone cooked not good. And you're just like, steak. Yuck. Damn. Right. That's what it felt like.
Well, by the way, I did just look it up real quick. London Has Fallen was released by Focus Features, which would be Universal. So the first movie was Sony. The second movie was Universal. And this one was Lionsgate. They just be bouncing around to all the different studios. Like, we don't want
it.
They
were like, yeah, we don't want this.
We made our money. You can have it.
All right, Nate, what is your total points for this film?
A 15 out of a 25. Wow. A very average movie.
You liked it more than I did because I gave it a 13 out of a 25. So, and I'm going to tell you right now, to all those jackasses that gave it a 93% in Rotten Tomatoes, you guys got paid for it because there's no way that movie was a 93 in my book.
It's not.
It was more 38.
One. There's no like this is the best reviewed one from the critic from the audience. I think the critics it's the second best. I think Olympus was a little higher, but
at least the critic. I agree with the critics. 38%. I agree with. Yeah. I don't think it's below that at all. Right. 38. I totally agree. This movie is a 38. There is no way, no chance in hell. This movie is a 93%.
93. When I saw it, I was like, something's wrong. It said hot fresh popcorn or something. I'm like, ain't no way this is hot fresh popcorn, dude. This is not.
This is no bullet shattering and
Because I checked the Rotten Tomatoes scores after I watch it when I go and write down my scores. And I'm like, ain't no way.
No way. Anyway, with that said, Nate, what is coming up next?
So next episode, we will be wrapping up. So that wraps up, of course, our franchise watch through of the Has Fallen franchise. So next week, we'll wrap up. Our next episode will wrap up our Assassin Month, which was tied to the Has Fallen franchise. We're going to be reviewing Leon or The Professional if you're in America. It depends on what, you know, over Europe, it's called Leon. Here, it's called The Professional. And sometimes it's just called Leon, The Professional. So there you go. We'll be wrapping it up with that movie. And then new franchise. That one's over. We're going from Earth-based political action to we're going to space, brother. We're going to outer space. We're going to other planets. We will be doing the Riddick franchise. Our boy Vin Diesel, his other franchise beside his other franchise before Fast and Furious and Triple X. This is his third franchise. We're going to be doing a little Pitch Black. We're going to be doing a little Chronicles of Riddick. And then we're going to be doing a little movie called Just Riddick. So these are all same David Twohy. I think it's his franchise. He did all three movies, like wrote and directed them. Sci-fi. The first one is kind of like horror, almost sci-fi horror action. The second one is full on space opera. So we're talking like they were trying to make it like Star Wars world building. And then the third movie is a little bit more grungy, gritty, kind of like Pitch Black. So I don't know if you've seen these movies, but those are the three we're going to be covering. You never seen any of them?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. You're in for a treat. It might be Vin Diesel's most interesting character out of
this. Is his best character? I mean, his best franchise, or is it still Fast and the Furious?
I love Fast and Furious. So no, that's what I'm saying.
I know you love this better than Triple X.
That's okay. His other franchise. This one's better. This one's better. Okay. But Riddick is a cooler character than like Xander Cage. He might even be he's more interesting than Dominic Toretto, honestly.
Okay.
He has like special eyes. That's why he could see in the dark. That's why it's pitch black. It doesn't matter if it's dark. Mm. And he has to wear goggles when it's too bright out.
That's very so stupid. But okay.
See? You gotta wear goggles.
Oh.
But these are R-rated, which is fun too. Like these are more like
edgy. It looks like a low budget. It looks like a low budget sci-fi from that cover.
Well, I think they're Universal. No, the second one has a big budget. Chronicles had like a big budget. The first and third are more probably like this franchise.
So it's Pitch Black, Riddick, and then Chronicles of Riddick?
Other way. Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, Riddick.
And then Riddick. And then there's no other fourth? Oh, okay. So it's a three movie. Okay, fine. All right, cool. All right, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, head over to youtube.com/Action Movie Guys. Subscribe, leave some comments there, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. And of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Rate us, leave us some comments there also. We appreciate it. And of course, you guys can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Geeks, the letter N, Flix. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.